Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Our musical trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one. It was on this very day back in 1911 that composer Gustav Mahler died. What were his famous last words? Was it A, I should never have switched from scotch to martinis? Was it B, Mozart? Was it C, where's my baton? Or was it D, I kept telling them I was sick? And question number two, it was on this day back in 1968 that this singer's recording of the song Tiptoe Through the Tulips was released. So, who sang this 1968 recording? Hint, this same song had originally been a number one hit for Nick Lucas back in 1929, you may remember. But here's a snippet of the 1968 version. So the answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Who is this singer, anyway? Our transitions come to us from that very same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of May the 18th. Well, it was on this day, back in 1954, that Bill Haley and the Comets' Rock Around the Clock was released. It would not be successful until a year later, when it was released on the soundtrack to the movie Blackboard Jungle, 1954. And it was 49 years ago today, 1969, that Peter Cetera of the band Chicago was beaten up by four men at a Chicago Cubs-Dodgers baseball game. The men objected to the length of Cetera's hair. Cetera underwent 4 hours of emergency surgery. 1969.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
And in country music news, Johnny Cash singing We'll Meet Again introduces this article entitled Back in Black. A new all-star album features the lyrics of Johnny Cash. This is written by Jim Lenihan and published in AARP, the magazine, May 2018. 15 years after his death, Johnny Cash still has something to say. On Johnny Cash Forever Words, artists including John Mellencamp, Brad Paisley, Jewel, Elvis Costello, and the late Chris Cornell set some of the icon's previously unseen writings to music. Son John Carter Cash co-produced the album and answered our questions.
But I know we'll meet again some sunny day.
As you were going through those papers, was there any one piece that really moved you personally? Through the whole process, I was in contact with my father again, and it was a real catharsis to be able to hear his voice again. I was joyous over my parents' love affair. The poem that became the song Gold All Over the Ground was written during 1967, when my dad was really falling in love with my mother. How did you pair writings with musicians? I reached out to some friends of mine or friends of my father's. The poem Forever, written at the end of my father's life in the face of the pain, the struggles that he was going through, Dad was able to find hope in what was to come. The poem says, "The trees that I planted still are young. The songs that I sang will still be sung." And there was no person that I knew that was better to read than Kris Kristofferson. Is there anyone on this record who you think sounds like your dad? Nobody sounds like my dad. They didn't try to sound like Johnny Cash, or perhaps they wrote as if he were sitting in the room, and maybe this was something they would sing together if he were there. Johnny Cash means a lot to people. Who is Johnny Cash to you? I can't think of another artist who has a fan base as diverse, in that the ladies in their 70s at the 4-H Club have the same collection of Johnny Cash records as the punk on the street in Amsterdam. What's your best memory of your dad? My father had a great sense of humor. He wasn't only the man in black. He said it himself in the song, Man in Black, "Ah, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day." He was a man of hope. Edvard Grieg's Morning Mood introduces our classical music news in an article entitled Types of Flutes. This is published in MelodyFool.com 2018. For those who think the flute is relatively modern in terms of thousands of years, think again. The flute, in fact, has been documented as the oldest instrument of melody made by man. This comes from an archaeological discovery at the Ochs Valley of southern Germany. A flute made of bone that can be dated back by 35,000 years. After more excavation, it was concluded that the Ochs Valley was quite the artistic hub back in the day. I have categorized them according to the way they are played, their shape, and size, and their period of creation. That makes for 9 types of flutes in all. 1, the panpipes. It consists of about 5 pipes in general, each pipe differing in size. The panpipes, or pan flute, are completely flat at one end, with the other ends of each pipe trailing off. 2, the ocarina. The instrument is too unique and simple, yet sounds amazing in its own light. The English pendant ocarina can have just 4 holes for fingers and still get an entire octave. 3, the recorder. The recorder is one of the oldest flutes around that's still in use. It grew in its greatest popularity during the Renaissance. The suling. The suling is the kind of flute that will change its size according to the celebration. It's made from bamboo. The Japanese shakuhachi. The shakuhachi is an inblown flute made out of bamboo. The passage of time saw that the transition of the shakuhachi from traditional Japanese music to pop music and Hollywood soundtracks, including The Last Samurai and Memoirs of a Geisha. 6, the bansuri, the Indian version of the bamboo flute. 7, dizi, another Asian flute made of bamboo, would be the dizi. It was created and is most popular in China. 8, the fife. Ever wondered why the fife is used during military drills and in marching bands? Because the fife has a high-pitched sound and sheer power to it that can get it heard over almost everything except a jet plane. And number 9, the Irish tin whistle. Also known as the Scottish penny whistle or just a tin whistle, this instrument has everything to do with Celtic folk music. It is an inblown flipple flute that is cheap, easy to pick up, and easy to master. And then the modern flute, the concert flute or the modern flute, is what you will be seeing more often if you live in America or Europe. It is the younger brother of the recorder and is used almost everywhere. Here are 7 basic types of the modern flutes. 1, the bass flute in C, the largest of them all. 2, the alto flute in C. The alto was mainly designed for flute ensembles. Number 3, the tenor flute in B flat. It's also known as the flute of love because of its rich tone that is believed to invoke the emotion of love. Number 4, the concert flute in C, the most widely used flute among the modern flute family. The concert flute is not only famous for its contributions to classical music, but also for its beauty seen in jazz. Number 5, the soprano flute in E flat. Larger than the piccolo, but 4 inches shorter than the concert flute, the soprano is the combination of both. Number 6, the treble flute in C, only seen in flute ensembles or some jazz performances. And number 7, the piccolo in C. It is the smallest of all the modern flutes. Well, this covers all the important flutes that you will come across as you walk across the musical world. You might come across some others like the subcontra bass flute or the hyper bass flute, which by now I hope you can figure. After figuring this out for yourself, all that remains now is for you to take your pick, find inspiration, and start playing.
Pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir?
That depends. Who's asking?
Oh, sure. Sir, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
I'm getting nervous.
Sir, I heard your name at Princeton. I was seeking an accelerated course of study.
And in jazz, blues, and Broadway music news, we have this article written by Evie Fordham, published in the News and Observer on the 13th of May, 2018, entitled, Can't Wait for Hamilton at DPAC? Get your fix with Hamiltoons. And this has been the Broadway cast of Hamilton seeking Aaron Burr, sir.
I wish there was a war, then we could prove that we're worth more than anyone bargained for.
Can I buy you a drink?
That would be nice.
While we're talking, let me offer you some free advice.
So what it is? Well, it's Hamiltoons, an American sing-along. When is it? 7 p.m., May 17 and 18. Where? The Burning Coal Theater, 224 Polk Street, Raleigh. Cost is $10, suggested donation. Make reservations to attend by calling 919-834-4001. Hamilton fever has been burning across the country since Lin-Manuel Miranda's musical opened in 2015. Now you can get a taste of the Broadway hit before it arrives at the Durham Performing Arts Center this fall. Burning Coal Theater Company is presenting Hamiltoons, an American sing-along on May 17 and 18. Local Hamilton fans of all ages will sing the parts of Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, and more. Hamilton, which won numerous Tony Awards, uses hip-hop to tell the story of founding father Alexander Hamilton and his ascent from scrappy orphan to one of the most powerful men in the fledgling United States. This is a story that reminds people of what principles our country was founded on, and sometimes it's hard to see that anymore because of the din of politics, says Jerome Davis, Burning Coal's artistic director. Hamiltoons karaoke nights are popping up across the country. Here in the Triangle, the characters will be played by different local Hamilton enthusiasts each night. Most of the roles are taken, but there are still a few left open to sign for. Everybody's excited for a chance to be a part of Hamiltoons, Davis said. Including high school kids, parents, college students, and more will participate. It's clear this won't be your typical karaoke night. The singers will get to work a stage that includes a multi-level set inspired by the iconic design seen in the production photos from Broadway. Those interested in singing a part won't be sent on stage unprepared. Burning Coal sends karaoke files to each singer before the performance, and we'll have rehearsals before each sing-along. Davis hopes Hamilton fans in the Triangle turn out in droves to enjoy Hamiltunes. And if they really can't get enough of it, the touring version of the Broadway smash will be in Durham from November 6th to December 2nd. It's an extraordinary story reminding people that this was a revolution in every sense of the world. Davis said, "These people were putting their lives at stake and taking a huge chance. They made it work and are an inspiration to those today who feel like change is needed now as well."
Je m'appelle Lafayette, the Lancelot of the revolutionary set. I came from afar just to say bonsoir to the king, cause it's toi who is the best, c'est moi. Bra, bra, I can purchase these mullets.
And in music research and technology, we have this article published in Science Daily, 27th of April, 2011, entitled, "Music Changes Perception, Research Shows." Music is not only able to affect your mood, listening to particularly happy or sad music can even change the way we perceive the world, according to researchers from the University of Groningen. Music and mood are closely interrelated. Listening to a sad or happy song on the radio can make you feel more sad or happy. However, such mood changes not only affect how you feel, they also change your perception. For example, people will recognize happy faces if they are feeling happy themselves. A new study by researcher Jacob Jalij and student Maike Muirs of the Psychology Department of the University of Groningen that music has an even more dramatic effect on perception. Even if there is nothing to see, people sometimes still see happy faces when they are listening to happy music and sad faces when they are listening to sad music. The researchers had their test subjects perform a task in which they had to identify happy and sad smileys while listening to happy or sad music. Music turned out to have a great influence on what the subjects saw. Smileys that matched the music were identified much more accurately. And even when no smiley at all was shown, the subjects often thought they recognized a happy smiley when listening to happy music and a sad one when listening to sad music. This latter finding is particularly interesting according to the researchers. Seeing things that are not there is the result of top-down processes in the brain. Conscious perception is largely based on these top-down processes. Your brain continuously compares the information that comes in through your eyes with what it expects on the basis of what you know about the world. The final result of this comparison process is what we eventually experience as reality. Our research results suggest that the brain builds up expectations not just on the basis of experience, but on your mood as well.
I can change the world. I will be the sunlight in your universe. You would think my luck was really something good. Maybe if I could change the world.
Eric Clapton singing Change the World introduces our rock and pop music news entitled One Tough Question. Eric Clapton, why reveal so much in your new documentary after a lifetime of being so private? This is published in AARP, the magazine, March 2018. There was a lot of footage and information about my career that had been archived. I started talking to some friends about what to do with it all, but nothing happened. A few years ago, I wasn't very well, and I thought, this needs to be done now. I'm going to gather all this stuff up and give it to someone to condense. That's when I approached my dear friend, Lily Zanuck, the director. Her response was, "Do you want me to tell the truth?" I said, "What other way can we do it?" As a producer, I was funding the project, but I didn't think it was right to interfere with what they was doing with the color in any way, so I just let her go on with it. When I saw it, it was near the final cut, and I thought, this is tough, maybe a bit too tough, but I showed it to my wife, and we showed it to the kids, and they were very moved by it, and I thought, well, this is great. There was a lot that went down in my life before I made some of the famous albums, like Unplugged, and people should know the facts, especially people who think you can't make music unless you're high. That's a message that I thought was important, especially for people in the arts. They can see that I made it through and that the better part of my career has been in sobriety. That's really the message of the film. I thought it was important for me to share it rather than having someone else do it after I've passed.
You would think my love was really something good, baby, if I could change the world, baby, if I could.
And in local music news, we have this entitled, News from Arts, North Carolina State. Our Living Past, photographs by Timothy Duffy, Gregg Museum of Art and Design. That exhibit goes on from May the 17th, this weekend, through November 25th, 2018. Photographer Timothy Duffy's wet plate collodion point prints bring attention to the traditional musicians of the South. When Duffy began recording the music of folk and blues musicians for the Southern Folklife Collection at UNC Chapel Hill, he discovered many of them living in poverty, despite their significant contributions to American musical history. This inspired him to found the Music Maker Relief Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping to sustain elderly musicians while preserving their music. The opening reception on May 17th included a performance by the Glorifying Vines. So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1968 that this singer's recording of the song Tiptoe Through the Tulips was released. So who was this 1968 singer? Correct answer, 1968, Tiny Tim. And the answer to our first question, it was on this very day back in 1911 that composer Gustav Mahler died. What were his famous last words? Was it A, I should never have switched from scotch to martinis? Was it B, Mozart? Was it C, where's my baton? Or was it D, I kept telling them I was sick? And the correct answer is answer B, Mozart. Despite the fact his wife was sitting by his side, legend has it that Mahler breathed his last after shouting the name of fellow composer Mozart. As noted in the February 16, 2017 edition of independent.co.uk, last words have always fascinated people. Perhaps they hold an echo of wisdom or a biting witticism, or at least a hint about who's getting what in the will. And so Business Insider put together a list of the reported last words of several famous historical figures. Bob Marley, for example, reggae musicians, money can't buy life. Archimedes, the mathematician, evidently said, stand away, fellow, from my diagram. Archimedes was killed during the Second Punic War when he refused to go with the soldier until he finished working on a math problem. Groucho Marx, comedian and film star, said, this is no way to live. Joe DiMaggio, baseball player, said, I finally get to see Maryland. Marie Antoinette said, "Pardon me, I didn't do it on purpose." She reportedly said this after accidentally stepping on her executioner's foot as she climbed the scaffold to the guillotine. Richard Gaiman, theoretical physicist, said, "I'd hate to die twice. It's so boring." James Brown, the singer, said, "I'm going away tonight." Ludwig van Beethoven, well, there are a variety of reports regarding Beethoven's last words. Some say the composer, who was deaf by the end of his life, said, "I will hear in heaven," while others suggest he said, "Applaud, friends, the comedy is finished." But still others say that after a publisher brought the composer 12 bottles of wine, his final words were, "Pity, pity, too late." And from Classic FM, we learn, Irish composer John Field, when asked whether he was a Protestant or a Catholic, replied, "I am a pianist," before breathing his last. Although Rachmaninoff's final words aren't documented, the great Russian pianist and composer, after discovering he had terminal cancer, said, "My dear hands, farewell, my poor hands." Chopin's final words, as he listened to Mozart's Requiem, were, "Now is my final agony, no more." Although it's difficult to verify Mozart's last words, he allegedly said, "The taste of death is upon my lips. I feel something that is not of this earth." Finally, incorrect answer A, "I should never have switched from scotch to martinis," are actually the final words of actor Humphrey Bogart, who also said,
"I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. Now, now. He's looking at you, kid."
That, of course, from the movie Casablanca. We've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. And as we leave you, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Music Review readily available as a podcast after the broadcast in the TRRS website, TriangleReadingService.org. Now, if you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me. Randy Thompson at 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.